While unemployment and the regime's corruption fueled public anger, what really sparked the uprising was the constant humiliation to which people were subjected. The protests in Tunisia, as elsewhere, are about demands for dignity, justice, and fairness. It is also a protest against the rulers' subservience to external powers. While people in Tunisia continue to protest against the limited changes that have occurred, there are other developments taking place in the Middle East as well. The most significant development of last month was the ouster of Hosni Mubarak from power in Egypt. He had ruled for 30 years with an iron fist through a state of emergency, and his hold on power was considered unshakable. Only last year, the IMF had praised Mubarak's regime as stable, showing impressive economic growth. So what happened to demolish one of the strongest dictatorships in the Middle East, especially one that was so closely aligned with Israel and the United States? Mubarak was in fact secretly undermined by the US when it became known last year that he was suffering from cancer. He would soon be dead, and who took over in Egypt would have enormous implications for US policy in the region, as well as for the future of Israel. Now, Mubarak was grooming his son Gamal to succeed him, as had other dictators' sons in the Middle East, notably King Hassan in Morocco, King Abdullah II in Jordan, and Bashar al-Assad in Syria. The US, however, had other plans for Egypt. It secretly promoted General Omar Suleiman, who had served as Mubarak's intelligence chief since 1993. Suleiman quickly established his credentials as a ruthless operator, consigning thousands of regime opponents to prisons where they were mercilessly tortured. He rightly earned the title of torturer-in-chief. At the same time, he also caught the eye of the CIA that would ship terror suspects to Egypt for what was euphemistically called enhanced interrogation techniques. Suleiman was happy to oblige and torture suspects sent under his control. Here are some of the methods used on detainees in Egyptian prisons. Beatings with electric cables, electric shock, suspending people from the ceiling for prolonged periods, stripping them naked, and setting dogs upon prisoners are some of the methods routinely used in Egyptian prisons that Suleiman presided over. The more troublesome prisoners were threatened with rape or even with family members such as mothers, sisters, daughters or wives raped in front of them. Suleiman is reported, according to leaked documents, to have had one prisoner from Turkestan killed by a karate kick to force another one to confess to various crimes. He also cultivated close links with the Israelis. Prior to Israel's invasion of Gaza in December 2008, Suleiman had urged a visiting Israeli official to eliminate Hamas, the Islamic movement that was elected by the Palestinian people in free and fair elections in January of 2006. In addition to Suleiman, the US also had Muhammad al-Baradei, the former chief of International Atomic Energy Agency, in sight. Alvarado worked at the International Crisis Group that is funded by George Soros. Alvarado arrived in Egypt on January 27th, 3 days after the Egyptian uprising had begun. Interestingly, Alvarado was constantly projected in the Western media as a leading opposition figure, when in fact he had little or no role in the uprising that shook Egypt and led to Mubarak's ouster on February the 11th. And then there is the Egyptian military, with which the US Pentagon has maintained close links. In fact, the US Pentagon has maintained links with the militaries in all Muslim governments and countries. Of the $1.7 billion in aid that Egypt gets every year, approximately $1.3 billion goes to the Egyptian military. Many top-ranking Egyptian military officers are also trained in the United States. So we can see the deep penetration of American influence on the Egyptian military. It is interesting to note that during the Egyptian uprising, top Pentagon officials were in constant touch with the Egyptian military high command. On January 28th, for instance, Lieutenant General Sami Inan, chief of the Egyptian army, was in Washington conferring with US officials. While the visit had been arranged earlier, this reflected the close cooperation between the militaries of the two countries. On February 5th, Admiral Mike Mullen, Chairman, U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, admitted on U.S. television that both he and Defense Secretary Robert Gates were in close touch with the Egyptian military high command. It is not difficult to speculate what they might have discussed. It was certainly not concerned with the plight of the Egyptian people that had suffered for 30 years under the brutal Mubarak dictatorship that was fully backed by the US all this time. The US concern was in fact to facilitate a soft coup in Egypt and transfer power from Mubarak to a US-friendly clique in the country. This has been achieved with great finesse. This does not mean that the people of Egypt, especially the youth that led the uprising, were American stooges. The Egyptian uprising also had a purely Egyptian angle to it. Last June, Khalid Said, a 27-year-old Egyptian internet junkie, was arrested by the police in an internet cafe, severely beaten, and then dragged out, dumped into a police van, and taken to the police station. There, he was beaten to death. What was his crime? He had obtained a video of the police smoking dope. He wanted to load this onto YouTube. He did not live to realize his dream. His beating led to protests, but the police were able to suppress them using their customary brutality, threats of imprisonment and torture. It was, however, the Tunisian uprising that also inspired the Egyptian youth to shed their fear and stage a similar uprising in Egypt. A young Google executive, Wael Ghonim, established a Facebook for Khalid Said that said, "We are all Khalid Saids." He thought if he could get 50,000 people to sign on, he would start a protest movement. To his surprise, 100,000 people joined him within a matter of a few days. On Tuesday, January 25th, the Egyptian uprising was launched by thousands of people gathering in Tahrir Square in the heart of Cairo. Similar but smaller demonstrations occurred in other cities as well, notably Alexandria. It surpassed the wildest expectations of the organizers. On Friday, January the 28th, even more people came out into the streets demanding that Mubarak must resign immediately. the people of Egypt had finally overcome their fear. The sheer size of the crowds gave them encouragement.